Lift your hands, lift your voice, and let's praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! Jesus! We love you today. We praise you today, God. Lord, you are our everything. You are our all. Lord, we look to you. We run to you for our strength, for our safety, for our salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a deep, precious move of the Holy Ghost that's here right now. I believe that anything can happen in this house today. For with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. How many have come to this house today with a need? Amen. Why don't you just lift that other hand right now? Let's just call upon that name, Jesus. Somebody call upon that name, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, what a blessing it is to be here on the last day of the year, worshiping and praising Him, ending this year strong, praising our great God. Hallelujah. My dad had a saying. He said, God's good to everybody, but He spoils me. Does anybody feel blessed and spoiled by the Lord here today? We've got so much to thank Him for. So much to praise Him for. Hallelujah. And I want to just finish this year strong, lifting up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this house today. What a privilege it is to be here. And a blessing to preach in this to this congregation. I love and appreciate your pastor, and he's been such an influence in my life and such a blessing to our district. And I give honor to him today, and I love and appreciate you, Brother Williford. And thank you so much. I'm in a tough spot. You've been gone for 3 or 4 services, and now I'm in the pulpit. So y'all pray for me, okay? Praise God. Give honor to Brother Reaver. It's good to be with him today. And to all the saints of God and guests, why don't you just give yourself a hand? Look at somebody and say, I'm so glad I get to sit by you today. This crowd has continually grown as we've continued singing. We should probably sing 2 or 3 more songs. We'd probably fill this house up. Praise God. Luke chapter number 14. We're going to begin reading in verse number 16. I'm so glad to have my son with me. And love and appreciate him. Proud of him. He is almost 6'7". He's about to catch me. I'm 6'8". We went to preach at one church. It was our second time there in the pastor's daughter, they told him the Parkies were coming. She said, oh, the Giant family's coming again. So the Giant family's here today, minus 2 of us. Praise God. Luke chapter 14, Jesus has been eating with the Pharisees and healing people and admonishing them. And in verse number 16, he begins his third story of the chapter. It says unto him, a certain man made a great supper, bade many, send his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent begin to make excuse. First said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. The servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. One more verse before you're seated, Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17. The Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I want to preach for a few minutes this morning from this title, The Greatest Invitation. The Greatest Invitation. I don't know what's on your agenda for 2018, but I promise you nothing is as great, as wonderful, as powerful, as all-encompassing as the invitation to come to the King's table, sit with Him, and receive what He can put into our hearts and lives. And I want us just to lift our hearts and our hands to the Lord and just respond today and say, Lord, I want to be where You're at. I want to respond to Your invitation starting today. Lord Jesus, I love You today. I thank You for everybody who has come. I thank You for what You have done in our lives throughout this year, what You plan for 2018. God, I pray in this service, Lord, that we could draw close to You. And Lord Jesus, receive everything that You have intended in this house today. And Lord, we're going to give You the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Let's give Him some praise right now. Amen. You may be seated. Some months ago, my mother, who was a wonderful cook, called me on the phone and invited my family and myself over to her house for dinner. Brian, would y'all like to come over and eat at 5 o'clock? I didn't have to say, let me think about it. I didn't have to say, I'll get back to you. I didn't even have to say, I'll ask my wife, which I do on every other major decision. I didn't say, well, could you tell me what you're having first, and then I'll decide whether or not I'm going to come or not. I didn't suggest a menu. I didn't say maybe some other time. And I didn't say thanks, but no thanks. But I said, what time do you want us there? If she said 5 o'clock, I think Dylan and I went at 4 o'clock. In fact, I remember distinctly telling my wife and Kenzie, I said, you know, Dylan and I are going to go ahead and go over to Mom's a little early, and we're going to visit. That being translated was we were going to go over early and see if there was anything that we could try out before it was actually dinner time. There was an expectation in our hearts that when we got to my mother's house, his grandmother's house, that there was going to be something put on the table that we were going to be excited about. And I promise you, when we got there, we were not disappointed because there was country ham with rice and homemade gravy. Fried okra. Come on now. Deviled eggs. Corn on the cob. Homemade dill pickles. And when that was all said and done, she brought out a homemade apple pie complete with Bluebell ice cream. Now, if Bluebell doesn't get you excited, there's just no hope for you. We came with expectation. We sat at her table, and we walked away rejoicing in what we had just experienced. I've come to preach on this Sunday morning that there is a table spread, not just in this coming year, but there is a table spread in this house today by our Heavenly Father, and He is saying to through me today, it is now ready. It is now ready. I'm not waiting on Him. He's waiting on me to come to the table and receive what He has prepared in this house. cross today. Hallelujah. I'm glad to tell every one of you, whether you've been here for 70 years or you've just been here the last 17 minutes, I want you to know that you are invited to a great supper. Hallelujah. I don't deserve to be here. I didn't earn my way to his table. I didn't come to his table because I had it all together. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He made a way at his table for you and for me. Hallelujah. I know you got up this morning and you made a decision to come to church, but I promise you, you're not here just because you made a decision, but you are here because you are drawn here by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." I don't know what it was for you. It may have been different for you than it was for me or the person sitting next to you. But every one of us had something in our heart that said, there's got to be more to life. There's got to be more to my situation. I've got to find my way into the presence of God and see what God has to say about my life. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm invited. John 7:37, in the last day. On this last day of the year, this was the last day of the feast, that great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried. Just try to capture the passion in his voice and in his heart as he saw people involved in ritual, but not connected to relationship. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Let him come to me. I haven't just come to church today, but I've come to him. I haven't come today just to sit on a pew, but I've come to find him and drink from the well that only he can supply. For Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Hallelujah. You have an invitation today. Tell your neighbor, you're invited. You ever gone to your mailbox and saw a fancy invitation? Gold foil. Once in a lifetime opportunity. Printed up really nicely. But then you looked at the address and it said occupant. That'll kind of dash your hopes. Envelope looks nice, but they don't even know what my name is. I'm glad he knows what my name is today. Hallelujah. You can be sitting in a big crowd, but something about the Word of God, God can speak to you. God can take his Word and it can come alive in your life today. And you can be sitting there saying, "Man, somebody's been talking to him." No, nobody's been talking to me except him, but God knows where you're at. God knows what you're going through, and God can speak your name in this house today. God can speak to your circumstance today, and he'll let you know, hey, you are invited. It's not just occupant. It's not just to the resident. It's not just to this one or that one, but it's specifically to you and to me today. He's saying, you are invited. Something about the drawing of the Holy Ghost, or something about that pulling. And if you've never been around the moving of the Spirit, sometimes people said, "Man, I'm crying. I don't know why I'm crying." And I walked into the house and I don't really know what I'm feeling. I'll tell you what you're feeling. You're feeling the invitation to come. And it can be a fearful thing if you've never felt it before, as you're trying to figure, what's going on here? I don't normally cry. I don't normally respond this way. I don't really know what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. There's a God in heaven that loves you, and he's calling your name. It may have been a song that's been sung by this beautiful praise team today. It may have been a scripture. It may have been an admonition from somebody. It may have been a prayer that's already been prayed. It may be something that I've said across this pulpit. But God will speak to you and let you know, hey, there's a place for you at my table. Hallelujah. But the news gets even better. For Revelation says not only the Spirit says come, but the bride says come. Not only does God want you at his table, but you are surrounded by men and women of God who are saying the exact same thing. They're saying, hey, we want you at the table, because they recognize that God found them when they were lost. God found them when they were messed up. God found them when they were addicted. God found them when they were in the bottom of the pit, and God brought them to the table. And so now there's a chorus in this house. It's not just the Spirit that's saying come, it's the Spirit and the bride saying come on, come get a drink, come to the table, come see what Jesus can do in your life. He can heal you, he can forgive you, he can save you, he can fill you with his Spirit. Oh, somebody clap your hands and praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Does anybody remember where he brought you from? Does anybody remember when you were on the outside looking in, but Jesus saved you? Jesus brought you out. Jesus cleaned you up. Jesus put his Spirit inside of you. Not because I was worthy, but because he loved us. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm invited. Unfortunately, not everybody will respond to the invitation. He sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. You see, these people had already essentially sent an RSVP. This wasn't a surprise knock on the door, but in the culture in which they lived, it took time to. They didn't know exactly when everything would be ready, so they would get a pre-approval. Hey, are you going to come to the party? And they would say, yes, I'm going to be there. You can count me in. Whenever that dinner's ready, I'm coming. And so these people had already said, we're coming. But now they begin to make excuse. I bought a piece of ground, And I planned on being there. I planned on fellowshipping with you. I planned on enjoying what you were going to put on the table, but my priorities have changed. My ground is now more important than your dinner, and I'm going to go check on that instead. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to go prove them. Poor choices. These oxen that I'm going to try out are more important than coming to the dinner that I've already RSVP'd for. And then finally, I have married a wife. Sounds like Adam in the garden. You know what? Just blame it on your wife. Blame it on your husband. Blame it on your friend. Blame it on your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. I was invited. I was committed to come, but misplaced priorities are going to cause me to miss out on the greatest invitation. God help us in 2018 not to let the trivial replace the eternal. We're all guilty. We all wrestle. As long as we're flesh, we wrestle with things that try to pull our attention away to things that we've previously committed to follow and things that we previously understood to be the most important things in our life. And maybe it's not a deal breaker for us, but is it a deal breaker for him? Because his conclusion was that none of these men, that have made excuse are going to taste of my supper. I wonder how many times that I've left Jesus sitting at the table by himself. It's amazing to me how my wife, my mother, different ones in my family, as you come together as a family, how that cook in love knows what each person likes, and they can set things on the table and they'll set it close to that particular person because they know what they like to drink. They know what their taste and their dislikes are. And in love, they have fashioned this dish, this drink with that person in mind. I wonder how many times has Jesus put things on the table that had my name on it, things that he knew that I needed that day, that moment to take me to the next level, but somehow my life was so consumed with the land and with the oxen and with relationships outside of him that I left him there sitting alone with an empty place that had my name on it. Hallelujah. I encourage us today on this last day of 2017, let's not just look into 2018, but what has God prepared on this Sunday? What has he anticipated putting into my spirit, into my life on this Sunday morning? But he's simply asking for a response from me to a pre-commitment that I've already made, that God, when you put it on the table, I'm going to be there. When you say, come, I'm going to come, and I'm going to receive what you have put into my life. I pray that prayer, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. He knows exactly what I need. He knows what I'm deficient in. He knows what I've had an excess of. And he knows how to put on the table exactly what my soul needs and my soul desires. Hallelujah. One of the saddest verses in the New Testament to me is John 1:11. And it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. If anybody should have known, they should have known. If anybody should have been at the table, they should have been at the table. But one of the greatest verses of the New Testament is John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I can't make decisions for everybody else. I can't be responsible for this one or that one, but I can make up my mind. When he says come, I'm going to be at the table. When he gives me the invitation, I'm going to respond and allow Jesus to do a work in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the power to become? Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Not everybody will respond to that invitation. Hallelujah. But I'm going to respond, and I believe you're going to respond today, because we understand that we have been invited to his table even with our challenges. Is anybody glad that this isn't just for perfect people? I think I'm going to have a praise break right now. Hallelujah. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people that are willing to respond to the invitation. Go find the poor, the broke, the people who lack the resources to accomplish what they think they need to accomplish. Come and drink of the water of life freely. I'm glad I don't have to earn this, because I don't have what it takes to earn it. Go get the poor. Get them here. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was preaching on Memorial Day weekend at a church here in Missouri, and a lady came, and I could tell life had been rough. And we were praying in the altar, and one of the ladies brought her up to the front. And pastor was out of town. I was covering for him that weekend. And to be honest with you, I thought she was going to ask me for money. And I knew I didn't have any to give her. The pastor wasn't there to give her any. And I'm just being real transparent. I just didn't have a lot of faith. When she first came up, she started trying to, I felt like she was trying to tell me all of her, you know, I need this, that, and the other. And I said, you know what? Let's just pray for a minute. We start praying, and I felt a prophetic word. And I said, ma'am, I said, today, starting today, if you'll let God, the trajectory of your life is fixing to change, starting right now. And I said, I don't know what all your needs are, and I don't know how to fix them all. I said, but Jesus knows how to fix them. And we started praying, and the power of God came down, and God began to touch her. And she wasn't telling me everything, but she was praying. And the lady was praying with her, and I prayed. And I had to go preach somewhere else that afternoon, so I didn't get to stay very long. But I saw the pastor about a week and a half later at youth camp, and he said, hey, I'm going to tell you about that lady. And he described her that you prayed for on that Sunday. I said, tell me about it. He said, she came back the next Sunday, and she found me. She said, pastor, she said, I came to your church for the very first time last Sunday, and I was scared to death, but she said, I came to the front of the building, and I prayed with the preacher, and she said, I asked God for three things. She said, I asked God to deliver my brother, who's a severe alcoholic. She said, I asked God to help me. She said, I had a fine that I couldn't pay that had criminal implications, and if I didn't pay that fine that week, I was going to jail. And she said, I asked God to help me because I'd wrecked my car and I did not have money to fix my car and I couldn't get to work and thus I couldn't make money to pay my fine. You know the drill. And so she said, I asked God for those three things. She went home from church on Sunday afternoon. Her phone rang and it was her sister-in-law, and she said, I don't know what's come over your brother, but he got up today and he said, you know what, I'm tired of being an alcoholic. And he went to the refrigerator and he poured out all the alcohol that he had in the house. Hallelujah. You say coincidence? I say no coincidence. Hallelujah. There was somebody making room at the table for her and saying, you've got a lot of mess, but I want you at my table. I can help you. She went to the mailbox on Monday, and with fear and trepidation, she pulled out her bank statement, and she opened her bank statement, and to her surprise, she saw that her balance was not what she thought it was supposed to be. And come to find out, her husband had died a year and a half prior, and Social Security had made a mistake, and they had made two deposits, direct deposits, into her account before the weekend came. And there she looked, and there was enough money to pay her fine and to fix her car. And she came back into the house of God the next Sunday, and she said, pastor, I'm a believer now. Hallelujah. I couldn't help her. Pastor may not have been able to help her, but Jesus said, why don't you come to my table? Why don't you try your faith and see what I'm able to do? Is there anybody facing, amen, some impossible situations? Why don't you stand to your feet right now and say, Jesus, I respond to your invitation. I need you. I believe you. You're able to help me. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing. In the name of Jesus, I speak forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I speak deliverance in this house right now. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Let there be a breakthrough in the Holy Ghost today. Let somebody walk out with victory. Let somebody walk out, amen, walking in a new trajectory of faith. Hallelujah. You may be seated. He said, go get the poor. Go get the maimed. Somebody who was maimed was somebody who had been injured. There's a lot of people that have been injured that don't feel like they have a place at the table. If you can just bring me a plate home, I'll just eat over here because I've got some stuff in my life. Felt this strong in the Holy Ghost last night. I'm talking to some people that have been wounded, that you can't get over what happened to you. And you've disqualified yourself from the table. But Jesus sent this preacher today to tell you, he's inviting you today and forevermore back to the table. Hallelujah. Bring the maimed. I know you've been hurt. I know it's painful. But you're suffering out there when Jesus wants to make a place for you at his table. And so you can fellowship not only with him, but with others who have been also maimed. I think about Joseph, who was warned by the angel to take Jesus and Mary to Egypt. So he went to Egypt for a period of time because he was told to do so, and it was for the protection of Jesus. But he was not left in Egypt. For the angel came again and said, you know what, it's time for you to go back to the place that you're designated to raise Jesus to be the Savior of the world. Sometimes life has things that come our way where we find ourselves under attack. We find ourselves wounded. And sometimes for a period of time we withdraw for a place and time of healing. But the Holy Ghost is saying today, that starting today, it's time for you to come back out of Egypt and come to the table and say, God, I want to be involved in what you're doing in this end time. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, help us as the body of Christ in this end time hour. Amen. To be speaking the same thing that Jesus is speaking when he's calling the poor, when he's calling the maimed, and they're coming in hurt, they're coming in wounded. Amen. Let not them hear a dissonant voice of him saying, come, and us saying, stay. But let them hear the Spirit and the bride say, come on in. Come on into the table. Pull up a chair. Our Father has something prepared for you. It's got your name on it. He knows what you need. He knows what's going to help you. Hallelujah. Can we praise the Lord right now? Is there anybody that knows, amen, what it feels like, amen, to be wounded, but hear the gentle voice of the Father saying, come on back to the table. Come on, get involved. Get in that ministry. Do what you're called to do. It's time. It's time to respond to the invitation. Bring the poor, bring the maimed, bring the lame, the immobile, those who can't get to where they need to go. Let there be somebody. Have the lame get there. Somebody had to carry them. Somebody had to assist them. Somebody had to come alongside them and say, hey, there's a place for you at his table. Mephibosheth in the Old Testament, the son of Jonathan, who was dropped at the age of 5 and became lame because of the fear of his nursemaid. Amen. Later in life, David finds out that Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, is still alive, and he wants to do something kind for him. He wants him sitting at his table, and he said, go get Mephibosheth and bring him to the king's table. And sitting at the king's table, nobody knew that he was lame. Nobody saw his crippled feet because he was sitting at the king's table. Hallelujah. Go get the poor. Go get the maimed. Go get the lame. Go get the blind, those that cannot see. Lead them. Lead them. The Spirit and the bride. Hallelujah. There's room at the king's table. Hallelujah. Our family now has the shortest grandchild is 5'10", and they go up from that. And so we've always eaten at my mother's house for Christmas. And there's been a kid's table in one room and a little older table in another room, and then the table for all the siblings in the other room. And so we've all been in 3 different rooms. The kids' table, when the kids sit underneath it, their knees lifted up about 4 inches now. So this year, for the first time, everybody came to my house, and the way my house, it's kind of open floor plan, and so we were able to set up one long table. And 20 of us sat at the same table. So we announced it's the end of the kids' table. One of the highlights of the holiday was the fact that we all were sitting at the same table. What do you say today? We just do away with the table in the back room and the table for them and the table for them. And why don't we just all sit at one long table with Jesus at the head? And we'll come to the table with our wounds, with our disabilities, with our challenges, and we'll put them all into His hands and say, Jesus, everything I need can be found in You. How will you respond to this great invitation? I've had more than one occasion where I've wanted people to have a blessing from God more than they did. Please, just let God help you. Come on, just sit at His table. But they'd heard a voice for so many years saying, well, you can't because of... But I've come today to resist that voice and let you know there's a place with your name on it. The angels have written your name with their calligraphy pens, and it's right there. You ever been to a meal or a dinner or a banquet and you were maybe by yourself and you didn't really know where to sit? Isn't that an awkward feeling? Well, I thought I was going to sit here, but these seats all look taken. I went to a church when I was in college. I was working with a pipe fitter during the summers. I went to a church in a big city in America, and I sat down in a seat one day. I was 19 years old, 20 years old, never been to this church before. And I had a lady tap me on the shoulder. She said, son, I can't see over your head. Would you mind moving? Man, that just made me feel warm and fuzzy. But I see a name on your place setting today. I don't have to wonder, is there a place for me in the kingdom of God? Is there a place for me at the foot of the cross? Yes, yes, there's a place with your name on it. And this preacher has come today simply as a messenger from the Lord of the banquet, our Father in heaven, to simply say, hey, He wants you there. He wants you there. He's got it. He's got it. All He needs you to do is respond to the invitation. I love Acts chapter 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, man, we don't know what you're talking about. We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. You may be here today and you may be the same way. I don't know anything about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit or talking in tongues or coming to an altar. That's all strange to me. Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, it's the same thing, but it's the Spirit of God that will come inside of you when you repent of your sins, when you empty yourself out, when you are baptized in His name. He will fill you with His Spirit, and you'll speak in a language, you'll speak a sound that you didn't learn in college or in high school, but it's as the Spirit gives the utterance. He will fill you to overflowing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. God will do that today. God will do that today. He said, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism, referring to John the Baptist. He said, John merely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe that would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And I love this verse. The next verse. When they heard this. When they heard the invitation, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you have never been baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus, you do not need to let this day end without coming to pastor and saying, I would love to be baptized in Jesus' name today for the remission of my sins. They have clothes for you to change into. Amen. They would be glad if you've repented of your sins. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus today, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. When they heard this, they said, hey, I was baptized once before, but I've never been baptized in the name of Jesus. Can you lead me to the water? I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. They responded to the invitation. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. How did they know? They spoke with tongues and they prophesied. Hallelujah. Because they responded to the greatest invitation. Shall we stand together right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The master of the feast. So we've gone and we've got the poor and we've got the maimed and we've got the lame and we've got the blind. And there's still room. He said, well, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. That word compel is a very strong word. It's not just a take it or leave it suggestion. It implies diligence and passion. Come on, man. You like good food? Why don't you come eat with me? Well, man, I don't know. I don't know anybody. Well, you know me. I don't know if there'll be a place for me. Yes, there is. There's a place for you at his table. It's that easy. Sometimes we overcomplicate a move of God in our life. And God asks us to do simple things, and he asks us to do what we can so he can do what we can't. But sometimes I'm so locked up in what I can't do that I don't do what I can do. I've watched people over the years, and I've heard a pastor say, lift your hands, clap your hands, shout Jesus. Simple request. Sounds like Jesus. Fill the water pots with water, roll away the stone, take up your bed, go wash. And I've watched people do nothing. They don't do nothing. I don't know if that's proper English or not, but they don't do nothing. And I've often wondered, you know what, if they just did what the man of God asked him to do, I wonder what would happen. You know, I learned a long time ago before I ever got married, and it was a good lesson to learn. When the cook says dinner's ready, you get up and go. I don't say, well, what'd you cook? You know what? If I'm hungry and dinner's called, I get up and go. I go with faith, I go in haste, and I go with expectation. And here in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come to the front of this building, signifying your response to the great invitation. If you need healing, we're going to pray for healing. If you need forgiveness, we're going to ask God for it. If you need deliverance, we're going to ask God for it. If you need the Holy Ghost, we're going to believe God's going to fill you. If you need a word from God, we're going to believe it's going to happen today. But we're going to exercise our faith by coming in faith, coming in haste, and coming with expectation. Never once did my mother or my wife say, "Dinner's ready." And I went and sat at the table and there was nothing on the table. Now, there's some times she said, "Would you go pick up Chinese? Or can we order pizza?" Or, "We're ordering pizza." But she's never called me the table without there being something placed there that was designed to feed my life. Hallelujah. How many believe that our Father in heaven today has something on the table, this preacher included, before we come, though, I want you just to pray and be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, because there may be somebody beside you that can't get here by themselves. I hope I'm not taking too much time, but I was preaching a year ago, and there was a lady that was sitting back in this corner with Marty. And she was locked up. And when I would preach, I would walk down that aisle, and when I got close to her, man, she was like afraid I was going to call her out or something. And I'd walk down, and she'd lock up. And I wasn't picking on her. It just was obvious that she was. And so I made the altar call, and she didn't come. But the Holy Ghost kept telling me, "Go tell her that I love her." See, she had disqualified herself from responding to the invitation. Well, he's talking to everybody else, but he's not talking to me. And so I prayed for everybody in the altar, and I walked back to where she was. And I said, "Ma'am, I do not know you. I don't know your story." I said, "But Jesus sent me here to tell you that he loves you and he has a plan." Immediately she began to weep. And she said, "I'm a backslider." I'd come with a prop that day of a life preserver. She said, "Preacher, when you walk in today with that life preserver under your arm, the Lord spoke to me and said, that life preserver is for you." And I had thrown it down her aisle, and it went behind her. And she said, I wanted more than anything to roll out into the aisle and grab a hold of that life preserver. But she said, I couldn't move. But right then, God refilled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and she came back that night with a glow on her face and a spring in her step. But she was maimed. She was lame. She was blind. She couldn't get there by herself. What would have happened if I had not obeyed God and gone to her and said, "I just need to tell you the Lord loves you"? Oh, don't ever coerce anybody to the altar. Don't ever force anybody or embarrass anybody. I've told people, you won't get dragged to the altar at our church. But you might get invited to pray, to come, because we want to compel you to come get what God has put your name on. Hallelujah. Before we come, I want us to just pray right now. Lord Jesus, you're moving in this house. Hallelujah. God, you know the burdens that have been brought into this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're speaking right now. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your abundant supply. Lord, you know what I need even when I don't know what I need. You know where I'm at when I don't know where I'm at. You know where I'm supposed to sit when I don't know where I'm supposed to sit. And Lord, you made a place for me, and you've made a place for every person under the sound of my voice. Hallelujah. As we come and sit at your table and receive what you've prepared. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you respond right now in faith by stepping out of where you're at and walking to the front of this building and say, Jesus, I just want what you have. You may not even know what that is, but you feel him calling you. The Spirit is saying, come. The bride is saying, come. Hallelujah. You may want to say to your spouse, hey, would you like to go pray today? Your friend, would you like to go pray today? Hallelujah. We're in this thing together. You're not in this thing by yourself. You've got him. And you've got a church. You've got sisters and brothers. Hallelujah. That are here today with you. Hallelujah. 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 Respond to him. Reach out to him. He's your help. He's your strength. If you've never repented of your sins, just begin to pour them out to the Lord. God, forgive me. God, wash me. God, cleanse me. God, help me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His grace is enough for you. His mercy is enough for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let him embrace you. You don't have to sit at the kids' table. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Yes. That's the touch of Jesus. That's the touch of Jesus right now.